good morning. You guys ready to get a fire going in your soul this morning? Yes. Well, Father, we just come before you right now, Lord, and we thank you that you are the fire in our soul, Lord. You are the one that burns in us. And Lord, we ask that even the strength that we've already had in you and the life that we've had in you, Lord, would be increased today. Lord, that there would be a fullness of who you are, Lord, in our lives that would be evident, Lord. We just set our attention, we set our focus, we turn our faces away from all the distractions of life, and we turn to you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that you are the one. You are the one, Lord, that sets us free. You're the one, Lord, that causes us to stand and be fully, fully reinforced in the presence and the power of God. We thank you for that, Lord. We just yield and we surrender, Lord, to your ways and your purposes and your plans for this service today and for our lives. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Bring light to
restore every heart that is broken.
Offer this heart. Who you are, To I am. To I am. Worthy is the Is everyone doing good this morning? Enjoying the warmer weather? You are? You like the warmer weather? Well, you're in for it then. Of course, it cools down a little bit this week. You saw that, didn't you? Oh, there you go. So I've got diet ginger ale and coffee, so I'll work between the two. I don't know. I hadn't finished my coffee, and it's like, I can't let a good coffee go to waste, right? So I'll just work between the two. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. This is like gouging me. There we go. Do you have anything? You don't have anything?
We do need to pray for Phyllis.
We need to pray for Phyllis.
Yeah.
Like right now?
I'll help and pray for her because she's taking a trip to down and they placed her in hospice.
Oh, yes. Okay. Well, Phyllis, come on forward. We're going to pray for Phyllis. She's going to be going to... When do you leave? This week?
Tuesday.
Okay. She's going to be going to California and she's going to be able to spend some time with her daughter and son-in-law and... We just pray that the Lord just fills that moment so that it's life-giving to everyone, right? Father, we just pray right now for Phyllis, Lord. Pray, Lord, for strength for the trip. And Lord, we also pray, God, that she would be able to just release, Lord, the deposit of who you are, Lord, to her family.
Yes.
Lord, the confidence and faith and faithfulness, Lord, she's carried for all these years, Lord, that she'd be able to transmit that and encourage others, Lord. And Lord, you are her encouragement, Lord. You're the glory and the lifter of her head, Lord. And so let that reality, that truth, Lord, be what she walks in, Lord, as she goes to California. We pray, Lord, that she would just allow herself to be open 100% to the Holy Spirit, to hear what you have her to say, and to just be there, Lord, to be the love that you've created her to be for her family. We just thank you for that.
Traveling mercies.
Yep, safe travels, Lord. Let the angels go before them. And take care of Ken while she's gone, Lord. Yes, and just be with him. Just be with him, and don't let him burn down anything. Amen? He's a man, right? We have our bad days. Praise the Lord. Oh, you better think. You guys heard that song before, right? Yeah. I always like catchy phrases. I thought that was a pretty catchy phrase.
Pretty catchy.
Pretty catchy. So, I think it was Monday morning. Yeah, Monday morning, I think I woke up and all of a sudden, like in my heart, just like the Lord started repeating a verse to me, or I started repeating a verse, the Holy Spirit was speaking to me. Whoa, hey.
You're gonna need to really project. No more quiet, dramatic stuff because of these fans, bro.
What's that?
I said, I'm having trouble adjusting your sound because of all the background noise.
Oh, maybe this isn't close enough to my face.
So no more quiet speaking.
Oh, I wasn't talking quiet. I was just talking. Just let me know if you need me to try to raise the volume. Is that better? Okay, well, anyway, I was saying that I was kind of waking up on Monday morning, and I just felt this going through my heart to think about these things, mm-hmm. what to concentrate on, what to set my mind on. And so I went to the verse, and I read it, and as usual, I read it kind of off and on all during the week. And so that's what we're going to look at today, Philippians 4:8. How many are familiar with Philippians 4:8? Oh, not many of us. Okay, probably when we read it, you will be. This is an admonition by the Apostle Paul that he's putting in with many admonitions towards the end of his letter to the Philippians. But I just think it's interesting, though, that it's like, finally, brothers. When you say finally, when you're talking to somebody, is it like usually just an addendum that you just want to add, or does it have like weight a lot of times?
Well, it's a finality to what you're talking about.
Right. And Save the best for last. You could call it that way. I think as we look at this, and we'll delve into a few different translations and then a few different other scripture references that I think kind of talk about the same thing. But how many of you know that our thought life is really the center of who we are? Mm-hmm. Whether you want to call it our thought life, our heart life, however you want to put it, what things we're dwelling on, what things we're letting to incubate in us and germinate and ruminate, all these different words, you know, ink, you know. What would be another eight word that we could use?
I don't know.
Postulate, you know. But there's this idea that what we're putting in us and allowing to stay in us produces something. Mm-hmm. You know, how many heard garbage in, garbage out? That's a perfect computer phrase, because people would, you know, be on their computers and, you know, they would do things and then they would tell the technical IT guys, hey, look what's on my computer. What happened here? Well, the guys would go, well, it was garbage in, garbage out. You know, you put stuff in and that's what came out, you know. And so what we put in us and what we allow to stay in us has a huge effect, I believe, on who we are.
Yeah.
And who we are to others, our family. I mean, all of us know that we can let things get to us at work or, you know, with someone else. And then we just bring that environment, that heart, that idea, or that mood that we're in sometimes. And it starts spilling out on everybody. Not very fair, is it?
Well, and there are some people that you never know how you're going to get them every single day. So that makes you on edge, because you don't know if today's a good day or not so good day.
Right.
So,
and do you think that those individuals are being influenced by what they're thinking about?
Oh, definitely.
Or do you think that's just their temperament and they're ornery? And
I think they use that as an excuse that it's their temperament. But
right.
I believe all of us have the power in us to have good come in and good come out.
Okay. Well, let's see what the Bible says and see if it's right. No, I'm just kidding. The Bible's always right. Okay. Philippians 4:8. Go ahead, babe.
Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things.
Go ahead and try that again. They
finally,
were being nice and kind. Nobody
brothers,
was telling me that I wasn't.
Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things.
That's a mouthful. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, we'll look into this a little bit further, but the truth is the reality. Whatever is a reality, whatever is not fake, whatever is truth, and I would say biblical truth is the best. God's truth that he's put in our hearts, those are the best things. I mean, because sometimes you can see something that's true, but it's not honorable. You know, sometimes you can see something that's true, but it's not just. And sometimes you can see things that are true, it's reality, but it's not pure. So it's a truth that I believe is wrapped up in Christ.
Right.
You know, and if we see things and hear things, how many know, all of you just watch the news, watch YouTube, we hear stories, you know, there's events that take place. And, you know, you would say, well, these aren't worthy of praise. These aren't, well, maybe we need to change our perspective as well, because God makes all things work together for good, right? I think it's a matter of how we're letting these things influence us. But notice it says, think about these things. Consider these things. Let these things have some weight in you. So let's look about three translations, and then we'll look at another verse and kind of delve into it a little bit more. The Living Translation.
And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise.
That's good. Fix your thoughts. Notice I highlighted that, fixing our thoughts. In other words, don't let our thoughts just be like wandering all over the place. You know, just kind of looking for some place to get influence. Fix our thoughts. Make it so that our thoughts are something that we're controlling. You can control your thoughts. You don't have to let your thoughts
control you
or just run wild. Anybody ever had issues where their thoughts just kind of are just like bouncing all over the place? And there's times we have to do that for work and stuff. But I'm talking about usually when it's like thoughts that are, you know, maybe it's just, you know, negative thinking, you know, bad thinking, you know, temptations, those kind of things. And we just kind of let them continue just to have a habitation in us. And they cause us to respond to those eventually once they're in there long enough. Okay, New King James.
Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things.
So notice how this truth, this, you see a lot of words change out in this, the different translations. True and truth doesn't. It's always there, because that's the thing about truth. It is truth. Seems like there's not another word for truth, because truth is truth.
Yeah.
Try to think about it. What's another word for truth? There really is not another word for true. And so I think that that's just one of those, and just like there's really not another word for love. Some people would say compassion and charity, but when I think of love, I automatically think of God, and I don't think of any other words really to describe God, you know, other than his name, other than, you know, his, because that's the greatest attribute he has.
Right.
And so whatever is true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, in other words, whatever things are not going to be unfair, whatever things, and I believe this is not just saying, telling us to go and find these things.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is challenging us to find these things within us,
mm-hmm.
looking at the as we view life, as we view circumstances, as we view others, with truth, with nobility,
mm-hmm.
with justice, with purity.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's easy to look at the outside, the book cover on someone, and not see truth, and not see what's just and pure about them. We see their problems, we see their mistakes, we see the things that they're dealing with, and not as God sees them.
Right.
So I believe this is about changing our perspective and changing what we dwell on.
I think God gives us plenty of opportunity for praying for situations and bringing that mindset into a situation. I don't know about the rest of you, but this week, the news that has been coming out of Sunnyside is ridiculous. There's been deaths, there's been car accidents with deaths, there's been just a lot of stuff happening in Sunnyside. And we could either look at it as, oh Lord, Sunnyside, something's going on in Sunnyside. Or we can say, Lord, you have room here to really show yourself. You have room to protect and to guide and to give wisdom. And so we have two ways of looking at anything. And it's, how are we looking at it? I mean, if we think negatively, we're going to speak negatively. If we think positively, we're going to speak positively. And that's one thing. When Mike and I first got to together, I was negative Nelly, and he was Mr. Whee! Like, you know. And I loved that about him, because he didn't care what anybody else thought about what he thought. He loved the Lord, and he is who he is. And I have learned so much from him on how to truly be have a God-centered life. And so we have to really do that in every area, our thought area, our life area, our work area, I mean everything. And so with these, when it's talking about the thoughts, it's even the thoughts that we birth inside there that come. Like I first said, oh my goodness, what's going on in Sunnyside? And then it was like immediately, oh Lord, you know, touch Sunnyside. Like the enemy may have picked it as a place to start, you know, having a battle, but you are greater than the enemy. And, you know, and so God does give us opportunities to pray like that for those different things, and to have that positive God attitude come out of those kind of situations.
That's good.
whatever things are of a good report. So that's kind of like, here's all these reports of things that are going on in Sunnyside, but can we turn it good?
Right.
Can we within ourselves say, no, this may look like a certain way on the outside, but from God's perspective, He can make all of these things turn to good.
Right.
As difficult as the situations are to walk through. So notice it says here, meditate on these things. Meditate. Meditate is a word that some Christians like to run away from because it sounds so New Agey, or it sounds so, you know, Tibetan or something like that, a monk in a temple somewhere. But I'm here to tell you, meditation was designed by God, because meditation is the way that we are able to focus in on Him and focus in on His Word and focus in on His truths, His love for us. I know sometimes I just meditate on the love of God. I just think about His love. I just think about His goodness. You know, I think about how He's been kind and loving to me. And as I do that, meditate on those things, I believe that is kind of what Paul's talking about, is keeping our mind in an atmosphere and in an environment that makes it so the Holy Spirit can work freely in us. Because I know when there's turmoil, Holy Spirit has challenges talking to me. He talks to me, I'm like, I'm not listening. Right now I'm right in the hornet's nest here. You know, it's like, I know you're trying to get me in those scriptures and stuff, but they're not going to work right. You know, however, you know, we don't see things from His perspective, or can even receive the peace of God, I believe.
That's good.
Okay, so let's look at Psalm 19:14. This is David, and he's communicating to the Lord his desire. And I believe that it goes right along with what Paul was saying here in Philippians 4:8. Go ahead.
And don't you think it really starts with desire? Us to have a desire that we have a good thought life? I think it's very key that we desire that. Like, if our desire is to have a good thought life and a good, you know, what comes in comes out, I think that's the very first step, or one of the first ones to take, is, Lord, give me a desire to have a good thought life. Give me a desire to think like You do. Open the eyes of my heart, but help me to have a desire to have good things coming in and going out. And I think that He can make that desire a true hunger in us. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in Your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer.
Let the words of my mouth, not just my meditations,
right,
but let those meditations that I've been having, let those be acceptable.
Right.
Let my thought life, what I ponder on, let what I'm letting to incubate and to germinate inside of me, let it be acceptable in Your sight.
Mm-hmm.
And that's part of that desire.
Yeah.
You know, that's something we can all pray. I know there's sometimes I'm in left field, guys. I have to like bring myself back, saying, how did I get over here? You know, sorry for all those who played left field in baseball, you know. But let's say like I'm in the garbage dump. Let's just put it that way. We won't make somebody feel bad because they were left field in baseball. If you ever play baseball, left field is like, I can take a nap. But anyway, I was in a place, you know, where I shouldn't be, you know.
Right.
And I had to like, well, we'll read later on what I had to do, because I had to choose. God wasn't going to do it for me.
Yeah.
You guys ever notice that? God doesn't just fix you. You have to finally decide, okay, I'm going to realize what's going on here, and I'm going to choose to think differently.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's our thought life.
Exactly.
We have the mind of Christ.
But we also have choice.
Huh?
We also have choice.
We have the mind of Christ. We can stay in the mind of Christ, or we can have our pity parties. We can have our anger. We can have our resentment. We can have our frustration. You know, we can have our, shaking our fists at the political scene, whatever it is, you know. Mm-hmm. And that right there is not positive.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're someone that listens to the news, you know, because you want to stay kind of in tune of what's going on politically, then you need to really check your heart continually. Okay, Lord, how am I thinking about this individual that has just now been, you know, identified on the news as public enemy number one? Am I just like, oh, I got to, you know, I want to see him, want to see him burn, you know, whatever, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Or are we just saying, Lord, be with them? Are we redeeming that moment where we're wanting God to come into it? Now we become more like an intercessor,
right,
and not just somebody that's part of the lynch mob that's out there.
Right.
Yes, Vicki.
Choose to move from earthly justice, these things, to God's justice.
We have to move from being in an earthly justice mindset to the justice of God. That's
yes.
Good.
Yep. Very good.
Whatsoever things are just. I believe that's looking at those situations, because we can't help but hear news.
Yeah.
I mean, if unless you live like in a, I guess maybe just a compound someplace, you know, up in, you know, North Siberia, and you know, and they bring you food, and there's no internet. What a horrible life! I mean, there's no internet. There's no nobody else. You might then will never know what's going
right.
on. But for the most part, we all hear about things. I mean, I'm sure you all heard about what happened this week with the 12 people that were killed at that
Virginia Beach.
Yeah, they were at some kind of governmental building. I didn't get all the details, but yeah, another shooting. And so we have this news. Do we let this, like, oh, world's going, you know, to hell in a handbasket, you know what I mean? Or do we let that just, are our hearts be gripped with fear? Do we say, Lord, You can work in these situations,
yes,
and help me to be an agent of change so that individuals who are leaning that direction, we can help.
Oh, I love that.
With the Spirit of God.
Agent of change. That's
an agent
beautiful.
Of change, yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
Okay, let's go ahead and read another translation.
Can you read that, because it cuts off online?
Oh, sorry. Let's read another translation. Might be cutting off on theirs then, too. No, it didn't. Okay, we'll read another translation. This is the Amplified.
Finally, believers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable and worthy of respect, whatever is right and confirmed by God's word, whatever is pure and wholesome, whatever is lovely and brings peace, whatever is admirable and of good repute, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think continually on these things. Center your mind on them and implant them in your heart.
So that's what I focused on this one. I mean, there's really, really good stuff here. And you guys can go back to these translations and read them. I mean, this one part here where it says, whatever is lovely and brings peace. So if you're thinking on something and you're not getting peace from it, then you're probably not thinking on it from the right perspective. Because when I first read this, I mean, you think, like, again, you just need to shelter your thing, your whole being from all this bad news. Mm-hmm. Or when you receive something, you bring it into a place of godly justice or godly wisdom or godly perspective, right?
Well, last night we went down to Moses and Gina and his mom. And I love that godly woman's perspective, because she could be looking that, okay, I have a cancerous tumor, I'm on hospice, doesn't look good for me. But
all
she,
my siblings have passed away.
All my siblings have passed. Woe is me. But she doesn't do that at all. She's like, and I can't understand one word she says. Well, a few, like, Señor, I know that's Lord. But other than that, I'm pretty much out in left field myself. But she just is like, oh, the Lord is so good. And she's just so thankful for the Lord. And she worships. Like, we sang worship songs, and she didn't understand them because we were singing them in English. But she just entered into worship. She really could just really sense the presence of God. She just loved every minute of it. Well, she had something else to think about, but she chose. She made the positive choice to say, no, my Lord and my God, you comfort me, you love me, you bring me peace, and I thank you for that. I thank you for you in my life, period, whatever life that is right now. And she has just such a positive outlook on that. And that's, I'm like, oh, I want to be like that. I don't want you know, strep throat to make me like be a zombie for a week, or, you know, broken arm, be a zombie for six or whatever. I don't want, I mean, is it true? Yeah, it's true. I had a really bad case of strep throat this week and I'm still in this crazy cast. However, God is still God. He's still on the throne. He still loves me with every bit of his being. That is something to be thinking on, good thoughts to think on.
Amen.
And we have the choice. That's what's so amazing.
Right.
Center your mind on them. Not let God center your mind on them. And implant them in your heart. Not let God implant them in your heart. This is you. This is me. This is our choice. To center our minds on them, to implant them in our heart. In that one scripture in the Old Testament that talks about, and, you know, write them on your, you know, the forehead so that.
And on your wrist.
And
yeah.
on your wrist.
Tell
so you're reminded.
Children.
Tell them to your children so they remember them. These, you know, these things are very, I mean, there's a reason why that's in the Word to begin with. People say the Old Testament, no big deal. I'm telling you, there is a depth of truth in the Old Testament. There is concepts and precepts that is why the New Testament was written. And so when God tells us to remember and remind ourselves, he's saying do that. You need to keep doing that. Don't just do it one time. One time isn't enough. Sometimes it will be 10 or 12 times a day. But God says, you center your mind, you implant them into your heart, you do this, and you will think on lovely things, on things that are true and things that are pure.
Amen. So center your mind on them and implant them in your heart.
So
here we're going to look at a scripture about the heart.
Okay, hold on. Let me get to it.
You got it?
Where is it?
Right there.
Keep your heart, this is Proverbs 4:23. Keep your heart with all diligence, for it flows the springs of life.
Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flows the springs of life. So keep your heart, guard your heart, protect your heart. I believe this is again, think on these things, implant them in your heart, the things that are of God, that are of a good report, that are true, that are wholesome, that are pure, that are lovely, that bring you peace. But it's talking about making sure that our heart is not getting implanted with things that are going to destroy it, because what ends up happening is that death flows out of us, not life. Because when we implant our heart with the good things, then what's coming out of us are springs of life. Mm-hmm. But if we, through making the wrong choice, the wrong decision, don't allow things in our hearts that are good, but allow things that are bad, death comes from us. And then what ends up happening, that then death and life in the power of the tongue, and those who will eat its fruit. So think about it. When we keep bad in us, what's going to start coming out of us? Our words mm-hmm. are not going to be acceptable in the sight of the Lord, because right. the meditations of our heart have not been pure, mm-hmm. have not been on those just things. And I'm telling you, this is going to be more and more critical as time goes, because it looks as if things are going to potentially get a little darker for a while before they get better. I mean, it looks like there's, you know, injustices that are going on politically pretty often now, and that there's I don't want to necessarily say conspiracies, but there seems to be like a plan of the enemy out there. We'll say the plan mm-hmm. of the enemy to steal, kill, and destroy in a greater measure.
Mm-hmm.
And even God's people are being affected. The very pursuit of happiness and freedom that this country was founded on is being challenged and taken away.
Mm-hmm.
So if you look at that, if you continue to say, oh, wow, look at this is happening, that's happening. If you don't look at those from the right perspective, life's not going to flow out of you.
Right.
And you're not going to speak life into that situation. You're not going to be an agent of change for good. You're going to be agreeing with everybody else in the nation. Anybody relate? Any yes and amens? All right. The Message translation.
Summing it all up, friends, I'd say you'll do best by filling your minds with meditating on things true, noble, reputable, authentic, compelling, gracious, the best, not the worst, the beautiful, not the ugly, things to praise, not things to curse.
Mm-hmm. So notice what it says here. You'll do best by filling your minds and meditating on things. And then, of course, it says these words that we've been talking about. But if you look here in Joshua 1:8, go ahead.
It cuts off again.
No, it cuts off again. It's
a mini.
Oh.
This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success.
So to Joshua, this was an encouragement by God after he had been basically given all of the command of Israel. He was now the leader of Israel. And God is encouraging him and letting him know, Joshua, if you do these things, if you meditate on this book of the law, and the book of the law was at that time probably Leviticus, most likely Genesis was written, Exodus. We don't know all of that, but obviously there was a direction for him to memorize and meditate and keep those things all the time, not just day, not just at night, but day and night. And you know, one of the things that I have noticed, and I'm sure all of you who have done this before, when you have a bad thought, if you start replacing that thought with just the name of Jesus, but you start replacing that thought with the scripture, the bad thought doesn't have a whole lot of room.
Yeah.
It just doesn't. You start saying, thank you, Jesus, or you start thinking, you know, Lord, you know, you died for me, you love me, or you just start quoting John 3:16, or you start quoting another verse that you love and that speaks to your heart. All of a sudden, that bad seed doesn't have room because we're meditating on the Lord. We're meditating on his word. Mm-hmm. Maybe you're meditating on a memorial that happened. You go back, you remember, Lord, I remember when you healed me. For instance, you healed me of that abscess tooth. And I woke up at 3 a.m. and it was like a nuclear bomb went off in my... As I start thinking about that, then the pain that I have right now, you know, can go away. Or the thought of that he's not faithful, that I'm just woe is me, I'm going to eat some worms, that pity party will go away because now I'm remembering, no, you were there. You're the one that healed me that day. Now I have many memorials. Hopefully we all have memorials. Times that we know that God moved in our life sovereignly. It wasn't like, oh yeah, it's like, it was possibly, the situation I was, it's a coincidence. There are times that we can see, but there's also times where he's just delivered us.
Yeah.
He's just set us free. He's just showed his love for us. When we bring those to our remembrance, I believe that there's no room in our thought life. Now, if you go back and start thinking about it again, yeah, it can captivate you. But why would we want to do that? Why would we want to let our thought life go in such a way that it leads us down a road where our heart's heavy? And we're not an influencer of life. We're an influencer of death to people.
And we have no peace.
Yeah. So here's the Passion Translation.
So keep your thoughts continually fixed on all that is authentic and real, honorable and admirable. Beautiful and respectful, pure and holy, merciful and kind, and fasten your thoughts on every glorious work of God, praising him always.
I was supposed to underline that part too. So keep your thoughts continually fixed on. So if you see here, so many of these scriptures are talking about it's an anchoring process that we're doing. It's like we're not letting it just be, oh, I'm going to I'm just going to do this right now, but it's a purposefulness that we have to have. Is that a word, purposefulness?
Mm-hmm.
It is now, yeah. It's has to do with intention. Yes, Vicki.
Connect to.
Connect to. Yeah.
So it isn't just something like sometimes we can't always just like, oh, I have a good thought, but we connect.
Right. Like, so the fasten is like I'm connecting myself to these thoughts. I'm connecting myself to these admirable attributes. Amen. And fasten your thoughts on every glorious work of God, praising Him always. So let's look at another verse, Colossians 3:2.
Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth.
Wow. Now, if you did this, you set your mind on things above, not on things that are on earth, and you did that 24/7, then some people would say, well, that's not very practical. When you're driving your car, I mean, if you're setting your mind on heaven and you're not paying attention to the road, or if you're going to work and you know and you've got to work on, you know, what's set down in front of you, and you're just thinking, oh no, I'm just thinking of the glories of God in heaven, you know. I don't think that's what this is saying. Because I believe that we can set our mind on things above as we do the things of this day that we're in. Yep. Thank you, Lord, for, you know, thank you, Lord, for helping me with this work. You know, thank you that I have the wisdom to do this. It, you know, it's that committing our ways to Him and then our paths being established. It's honoring Him in every area of our life, instead of just saying, oh, I got this. I've been doing this for 20 years. I got this, no problem. Seems a lot of times when I do that, oh, shoot, I have a problem. Right? Because
yeah.
I assumed that it was going to go just like it had always gone. I can tell you, working on computers, this is the case. You start working on a computer, oh, I know what this problem is. And so you start going after it, and you realize, that's not this problem. I haven't seen this before, right? Where did this come from?
This scripture, a lot of people have taken to an extreme, though. They have, it's that saying that says, you're so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good. So a lot of people have actually taken this and made a doctrine out of it for themselves. And it's like, oh no, Jesus says I can set my mind on things above. Well,
I don't have to worry about anything on the earth.
He was in the world, and he had to talk to the Samaritan woman. If he thought all about, you know, everything in heaven and all of that, he would not have been able to articulate to her. She's got the living word in her. Like, rivers of living water will pour out of her if she worships the true God. Jesus was very practical and heavenly minded at the same time.
Amen. And that's what we're talking about here.
Yeah.
I believe setting our mind on things of the earth is the corruptibility that the earth has.
Right.
That we look at things from a point and a perspective of corruption. We look at a perspective of well, that the way that the enemy looks at it. Because in his eyes, just everybody on this earth is going to hell. That's what he wants. And that's what he believes. And he'll fight us and destroy us. He'll do everything he can to get that end. But God says, no, I would have it that none would perish. I would have it that all would come to repentance. I would have it that all would be embraced in my arms of love. So there's two ways we can look at things that are happening on the earth. Either we can look at it, well, that person's, you know, an apostate, and they're just going to, you know, go to hell and, you know, and not even care about them. Or we can say, no, Lord, you can touch their heart. You can draw them to yourself. You can reveal your love in them. And it's just a different perspective. The person is no different. They're the same, but it's how we're viewing them. Yeah, that's good. Okay. Final one. And then we'll open it up maybe for comments or questions.
2 Corinthians 10:4-5. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God and take every thought captive to obey Christ.
For the weapons of our warfare, they're not fleshly or carnal, but they have power to destroy strongholds. So these strongholds can be strongholds outside of us, as Paul was dealing with individuals in his day that were not in any way lining up with what he was trying to communicate. And he's letting them know that the weapons that we have, that they're not weapons that are like a sword or a nuclear bomb. They're powerful to break down strongholds. And then we destroy the arguments. We cast down these arguments. We make it so the arguments are nullified. And we do that how? By taking every thought captive. So do we take, is it possible for me to take your thoughts captive? Can you take someone else's thoughts captive? You can't, can you? So I believe this is necessary for us to do, where we captivate our own thoughts. We guard our heart with all vigilance. We take in a thought, we analyze it, because thoughts come all the time. I guess there's something like 30,000 or 30 million. It's crazy how many thoughts we have during the day. I think it's in the millions. Huh?
Sure it is.
Yeah. And some come in and we look at it and we go, oh yeah, there's no problem. We just get rid of it because it makes no sense or it has nothing to do with us. But a thought comes and it tries to connect to us, tries to fasten onto us, tries to get us to take it into our heart. And maybe it's just something that says something as simple as, well, God doesn't love you anymore. You know, or God doesn't love you like he loves them. He loves them more than you. You can tell because you can see the way that he's working in their lives. He's not doing that in your life. And so you take that in there and you go, oh yeah, God doesn't love me like he loves everybody else. And so what happens now? We're separating ourselves from the love of God with that thought. We didn't bring it captive. Said, no, God so loved the world. I'm in the world. God so loved all of mankind. I'm part of all of mankind. God cannot not love me. He has to love me because he is love. So we bring that thought captive and we make it obey to the word of God. So what is going to cause that to fall short if we make our thoughts obey to the word of God? No. If you don't know the word of God, if you don't have the Spirit of God working in you, then when those thoughts come, you can't bring them to the obedience of Christ. You're just going to be subject to them. And I believe that's part of what's happening with the body of Christ, is that things are coming, temptations, struggles, all kinds of stuff, and we yield to them because we don't know the truth about those thoughts. We don't know the truth about those temptations. That they're just a lie. And that even though sin may be good for a season, it's the end of it is death. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have the liberty to do those things, but there's going to be consequences. Does that make sense?
To me it does.
So how do you bring every thought captive?
I tend to turn on worship music.
Go ahead and say.
Worship music is my go-to.
Is that how you bring your thoughts
Start
captive?
Start singing the song of the Lord or singing a chorus. Or I tend to do that very often, because I've sang my whole life. And a lot of times in those, I will sing scriptures in those.
Like, so worship is the way you bring those thoughts captive?
I tend to.
Yeah. Okay. Let's have someone else. Who else would share how you bring your thoughts captive when they're starting to run away?
I drive a lot, so with my hearing aids, it's hard to listen to because of the car noise.
Uh-huh.
Music is just more company. So sometimes, my brain can be, you're idle. You're thinking, you're driving.
Right.
You're at a place where a lot of people think a lot. And so I have to start praying.
So you pray.
I have to start praying.
So you just start praying. Okay. Anyone else?
Talk to God.
You start talking to God?
Yeah. And about my thoughts and what I want to do.
Okay.
It's been When I started this a little over a year ago, I take a walk about a mile every day. And I would use that for God, talking to God. And it was amazing that I would start out on a block and I'd be talking to God, and I'd end up on the block and I'd be shooting myself or something like that. You know, this is how bad it was. And then I had to keep taking each spot captive by talking to God. And they would, and then recognizing the instance, they would try to filter off. It takes a long time.
It does take a long time, doesn't it? It's not overnight.
Yeah.
You have to make that choice constantly.
Right.
Yeah, that's good. So those who didn't hear, Tim loves to walk and talk with God, and why he talks when sometimes being overwhelmed with other thoughts, he has to choose to go back to the right thoughts and communicate with God. I think that praying, communicating, your worship listening is a form of prayer. Reminding, for me, I like to remind myself of the Word. You know, I've been graced with the Lord's help and stuff to have the Word in my heart. So when things come up, I'll just like bring those thoughts captive by remembering verses, remembering what the Lord's spoken to me through teaching me about the Word. Not just about quoting the verse, but how it meant, how it became reality in flesh in me.
Right.
Anyone else? Bob.
Because they need to.
Right.
But they hardly ever crack the Bible open, you know. So they don't have a leg to stand on because they don't know the Word. And when I have to take those thoughts captive, because, you know, I do try and keep up on the news, and I think, oh, man, you know, things are really getting
dicey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What does the Word say about it?
Yeah. That's what you have to say. What does the Word say about
it? In the last days.
Perilous times, yep.
Yeah. He said that the light is going to get brighter and the darkness is going to get darker.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got to realize that's going to happen, and we've got to be overcomers to him who overcomes or receives.
Well, another verse for that is greater is he that's in you than anything that's in the world, than he that's in the world.
Yeah.
Moses, you have something that you do, or you do all the same type of stuff?
Worship music?
Yeah. Right. It's easy to get bombarded, isn't it? Right. Yeah, you get one thought and all of a sudden you're over here. It's like, how did I do that? I just traveled like 500 miles in my mind and just it's like,
and that's where the Word comes in, you know, where scripture's coming.
Right. Cool. Okay, Gay has something she wants to read.
So this, what I read this, I found this, I thought, well, it's a really good practical way of making it a spiritual way, so see if you get the same thing that I did. Standard Oil was once one of the biggest companies in the world, led by the famous John D. Rockefeller. On one occasion, a company executive made a bad decision, and it cost the firm $2 million. This was the late 1800s, and $2 million was a huge sum, which to me, $2 million is a huge sum now. Edward Bedford, a partner in the company, had an appointment to see Rockefeller. And when he entered Rockefeller's office, he saw his boss bent over a piece of paper, busily scribbling notes. When Rockefeller finally looked up, he said to Bedford, "I suppose you've heard about our loss." "I've been thinking it over," Rockefeller said. "And before I ask the man in to discuss the matter, I've been making some notes." Bedford, the other guy, looked across the table and saw the page Rockefeller had been scribbling on. Across the top of the page was the heading, points in favor of Mr. So-and-so. Below the heading was a long list of the man's good qualities, including notes on three occasions where he had made decisions that had earned the company many times more than his error had cost. Bedford later said, "I never forgot that lesson. In later years, whenever I was tempted to rip into anyone, I forced myself first to sit down and thoughtfully compile a long list of good points as I possibly could. Invariably, by the time I finished my inventory, I would see the matter in a new perspective and a true perspective and keep my temper under control. There's no telling how many times this habit has prevented me from committing one of the costliest mistakes any executive can make, and that is losing his temper." Mm-hmm. But this is the same thing. If we sat down with a piece of paper and started listing all the good things of God, by the time we got done, we would never get done. And that thought, what was that thought again? Like, you know, it would be so far removed from you. Does that make sense? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I thought that this was really a good.
That is good.
A good thing.
Does anyone have anything else they want to share? Anything that was inspired in their heart? Ladies over there? Nobody there, huh?
Nothing, huh?
One more thing, Bob. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you start thinking about how much input of the word of the, fellowship we get, a lot of people just go to church one day a week, and the rest of the time that they're in the world, they might read their Bible, once in a while during the week, but we're just so indoctrinated with the world around us that we need to really have that word embedded. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I will not sin against thee.
That's good.
So, it's so important, the word. I can't stress that enough.
Yeah. Well, and the thing is that the word has to be accompanied with faith. And the word has to be made real in your life, because just memorizing the words isn't enough. It has to be life. The words that Jesus spoke were spirit and they were life. And so we have to make sure that when we're
appropriated the right way,
taking the word in us, that it's becoming life. And when that happens, Bob, then when the enemy comes, he doesn't have power on us. Because just as Jesus said back to him, when the enemy said, "Oh, if you're the Son of God, turn this into this stone into bread. You can get something to eat," you know. And he said, no, listen, Satan, man's not going to live by the bread alone, but by every word or rhema that proceeds from the mouth of God. Because he was the word, and he was the word that became flesh. He communicated that out of him. And that's what has to happen. We have to let the word become a reality in us. It can't be the word of our parents.
Yeah.
It can't be the word of our pastor. It can't be the word of our best friend, or that TV preacher that gets us excited. It has to be the living word in us. And if it's not that, then we will struggle with keeping our mind on things above. We will struggle with whatever's true and whatever's pure, whatever's holy, whatever's lovely, all of these attributes that we're to be able to have a perspective of looking at things with. If we don't have that anchor in us, that fastening, that reality of who he is, then we're going to be blown around by every wind of doctrine and blown around by every lie of the enemy and blown around by our own emotions. Amen. Father, we just thank you for this opportunity to get together. And Lord, we pray that you would help all of us, Lord, be able to keep, Lord, our hearts and our minds guarded, Lord, with your word, with your love, with the truth of who you are. Lord, when the enemy and when life throws things at us, Holy Spirit, we ask that you would help us be the divine filter in our life so that we can say, not of God or of God. what I'm to dwell on, what I'm to focus on, what I'm to kick out and get rid of. Lord, that you would allow us to be sensitive enough to be able to not let our thoughts be governed and ruled by just our emotions, but we'd be able to be ruled and led by the Spirit. We ask this now in Jesus' name. Amen. You changed locations, huh? I look, she's gone. Well, praise the Lord. Have a great day, everyone.
Cleaning real quick.
Oh, anyone to help clean up?
Yeah.
Yep. Anyone like to clean up? It's not too much. There's not much here to clean up.